consumers. You could have let our sins consume us and overtake us.
We're so thankful for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your presence. And while we're up under a sweet atmosphere of fellowship and worship, why don't you go ahead and get out of your seat and meet and greet someone this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's recalibrate and pass the sweet peace that surpasses all human understanding that will abide with us now and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kids, y'all can get up too. Welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Really quick, we're going to have our announcements, and then we're going to proceed with this morning's service. Be blessed as you take your seats.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, your grace, your mercy that you show to us every single morning, every day. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just a few announcements this morning. As you all know, and you may have heard, June 21st was
Pastor's birthday.
But how long are we celebrating?
All month long.
All month long. That's right. This is Pastor's birthday month. So if you did not get a chance to wish him a happy birthday on June 21st, you still have time. You still have 2 weeks, I believe it is. Maybe we can have, I think, 2 weeks. To wish him a happy birthday. You are welcome to bring gifts. You are welcome to post messages on Facebook, give lots of hugs and lots of encouragement. Amen. Amen. Lots and lots of encouragement. We have to make sure that we are holding up our pastor, holding up the man of God, because he takes in a lot, you all. He takes in a lot, not just preaching on Sunday mornings, not just preaching on Thursday evenings, but he takes in a lot all throughout the week. Amen. So he is human just like we are. So we want to make sure that we are encouraging him with words that will lift up his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. I just want to make sure you're awake. Okay. All right. So next up I have is on Saturday, July 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Divine Dance presents the Art of Worship Dance. It's a workshop for anyone who has been gifted with the art of dance. So if you have the gift of dance, don't sit on it.
Amen.
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 If you have the gift of dance, don't sit on it. Come out to the workshop. Use the gift that God has given you. Somebody is waiting for you. You. I don't know who. But whoever you are, somebody is waiting for you to minister the gift of dance that God has given you. So don't hold it back. This is for ages 6 and up, and parents must accompany any children that are 12 years old and under, because we want to make sure that you are aware of the things that are being taught to your children and that you can practice with them at home, not just practicing the movements, but also practicing the ministering part of it. So parents, please make sure that you are here for children ages 12 years old and under. And we do have a special guest instructor. It's going to be Dr. Margot Blake. And if you have not heard of her, look her up, because she is an awesome, awesome woman of God, and she is an awesome minister of dance. Amen. So just be sure to mark that on your calendar. Saturday, July 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dance workshop for all of those who have been given the gift of dance. Amen. And then also on Saturday, July 20th, which is the following Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we have our beach day. Woo! And it's going to be at Daytona Beach, Florida. And this is for all family members. So if you have friends, you have co-workers, you can invite them to beach day. There are different things that we do. There's even a park. It's going to be Sun Splash Park. Yes. Which is right on the beach. So the kids will be able to play not only in the beach, but there's also like swings and slides and things like that. So it's really going to be a great event for families to come. So mark your calendars for Saturday, July 20th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. so that you can come out to Daytona Beach and have a good time. I mean, it's free. It's free. So come on out and enjoy yourselves. And then also save the date, Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. Is our back-to-school bash from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we are collecting school supplies right now. You'll see in the lobby area there are two boxes. If you are able to go to Walmart, to Dollar Tree, or wherever you are, just pick up some school supplies, because we want to make sure that our kids have the school supplies that they need for this upcoming year, as well as the children in our community. At this event, it's not just going to be a backpack giveaway, but there's also going to be free food, performances by local artists, free haircuts, and multiple giveaways. I think I saw something about free manicures and pedicures. Ladies, hello. All right. So free. And then also our family room is available. Oh, wait, before I go to that, if you want more information about the Back to School Bash, please see Sister Akile, or you can see Sister Latoya Lewis for more information about the Back to School Bash. Now, moving on to my next announcement. The family room is available, but it will be in the teen area on this morning. So if you go, it's right here in our Empower Community Center. There is an area, and if your children may be a little loud or, you know, a little disruptive, then you are welcome to go into the teen area, and you will also be able to enjoy the service as you are there attending to your children. And also, Truth Learning Academy is still accepting enrollment. So if you have children that are of daycare age, please make sure that you call and get more information about that. Truth Learning Academy is our church business. Yes. It is our business. So we want to be sure to fill it up. Spread the word. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell everybody that you know. Truth Learning Academy is enrolling. In addition to Truth Learning Academy, we have Camp Vision. It's only $75 per week. The children are having a blast. I heard that they rode the sun rail last week. They went to the mascot games. And our children received a prize for being the loudest group. And, you know, this is the arena, so it's not like it's a small little area. But our children were the loudest. So they got coupons. They got some pizza. Just all kinds of things. They went to see Aladdin Jr., which was performed, I believe, at the Wayne Ditch Center. So they are just traveling all over the place for summer camp. So if you have not signed your child up for a summer camp, this is the only summer camp that they need to be attending. They have pool days. I mean, they have activities even here at the church. They are outside doing activities, as you can see. And then inside, they're learning. They have a Bible lesson that they learn every day as well. So they're just not having fun and just running around. You know, they are actually learning something during the summer. And it's more so building their self-esteem, helping them to get prepared for school, get rid of that peer pressure so that they can become who God has called them to be. That is the purpose of our summer camp. So if you have not enrolled your child in a summer camp, or even if you have, you can bring one over to Camp Vision too. But anyway, so make sure that you sign your child up for a summer camp. And do we have any guests this morning? Amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for coming into Divine Truth Christian Center this morning. You are welcome, and we hope that you have felt welcome since you have been here. Anytime that you are in the area, please be sure that you stop by. And after service, if you don't mind just coming forward, you can meet with Pastor Lady Martin so you can find out more about our ministry and get lots and lots more hugs that you have already received. And now I just have one more thing. We have a special presentation this morning, so I would like to call forth Brother Dewan Lewis. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for him. And he's coming forward. Come on, keep on clapping. Keep on clapping.
Thank y'all. Just wanted to present Pastor with a small gift, something that he talks about a lot, so figured I would build him one.
Oh! Of course, we want to know what it is.
This is a 94 Chevy Impala that I talk about all the time. It's a model car. So I think I done found my business partner for restoring cars. So if you see one of these in the parking lot, you already know what the deal is. He put the pressure on me now. I like that blue now. Look at that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate this because it has the detail, the intricacy, and it just means that you're listening. So
yes.
God bless you. That made my day. I appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together again. So as we said during the announcements, this is Pastor's birthday month. So if you have not had the opportunity to present him with something, you are more than welcome to do so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to transition to another part of our service, which is our time of giving. Yes. And there are different ways that you can give on this morning. We have envelopes. Sister Tamara has the envelopes. And so if you need an envelope, you can raise your hand. And also we have our square card in the back for those of you who would like to use your debit card. As well as online, you can go to www.divinetruthcc.org and you can give through our PayPal system. So three ways to give. So give with everything that you have. Give with a loving heart, with a caring heart, because this is good ground. You are sowing a seed in good ground.
Amen.
And it's not just for not just to pay the light bill or the rent or anything like that, but we are doing other things in the community. You see, we have our first business, Truth Learning Academy. We have Camp Vision. We have community service events that we present within our community. So we want to continue to do that. And speaking of our community, as you are preparing to give, be sure that you pick up some blessing bags right here. If you were wondering what these are blessing bags. And these are things that we give to the community, to the homeless people as we are driving down the street. If you don't have anything that you can give to them, like monetary blessings, then you can bless them with a blessing bag.
Amen.
And in those blessing bags, there's a nice little snack, some water, there are washcloths, there's soap. So it's just a nice little something that you can give. And I can tell you, I'm a witness that they appreciate it when they get those bags. You know, they take the money too, but when they get the bags, you know, I've seen them just look at the bags and be like, wow, this is awesome, you know. So be sure to pick up blessing bags here in the front before you leave on this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Is everybody ready to give?
Amen.
Is everybody ready to give?
Amen.
All right. Let's go. Oh.
Y'all ready?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen.
Gonna give my God some praise.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you. Y'all can rattle into your seat. Amen, 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 amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. We welcome you to the sanctuary this morning. I believe there's a word from the Lord on today. Amen, amen. This has been just a great and eventful week, an eventful month. Even in my own personal life, there's been some tremendous shifts that have happened, not only spiritually, but also professionally. We had a wonderful time yesterday evening with the Safari Gala. Got a chance to present many dignitaries of the community with different awards and different recognitions that was going out there. Got a chance to spend some time with a couple of members of our church family at the event. It was just a great and wonderful time. As the vice president of that organization, I was able to really be able to share some influence, a positive influence to people in this particular community. And so I'm just so thankful to God for our church family. And just keep on holding on, keep on supporting us, and we're going to have even more influence to be able to do even greater works in this particular area. Amen. Amen. And so I'm just thankful to God. I'm thankful for the prayer warriors and the prayer team. I had a special little prayer request. I won't go into detail on it, but all I know is that the prayer was answered. Boy, was it answered. It's super duper duper answered. And so so I'm just so thankful to God for that personally. God always takes care of me. He always has a plan for me, both spiritually, with my family, and definitely professionally. Professionally, on my day job is I'm in technology professional, and God has given me opportunity to become a technology trainer, which is actually how I started my career over 18 years ago. And so my wife was like, well, you know, we were talking, and she was like, you don't talk a lot, but you talk a lot. And I do talk a lot, especially when it comes to teaching the word of God and also with technology. So God has allowed for those opportunities to once again rise again on a very, very significant way. And so thank you, prayer warriors. Thank you, prayer team. Also, as we go forward into the fall, we do have our beach day. That's in July. And then we also have our back to school bash, which is in August. And as a body, we want to make sure that we have enough events, evangelism type events going on all the way until the end of the year. So we're going to be reaching out to many of you. We're going to start forming some additional committees. We're going to have a good enough rotation between people so there won't be any burnout. But we got to go out and get these souls, y'all.
Amen.
We got to go out and get the souls. We have to make sure that we don't turn into a church that only has service on Thursday and on Sunday, and then that's all that we do. Amen. 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 So we want to go ahead and get out into the community and things of that nature. And so I'm just so thankful to God for that. I'm also thankful to God for my sister that has visited us this particular morning. We go way, 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 way back. When my wife and I first came to Orlando many years ago in the early 2000s, my father-in-law started a ministry in Sanford. And this young lady was actually part of the praise team at that particular time. And I still remember the songs. I remember us fellowshipping together. And just so funny how things come back full circle. And we synced up again because of an event. You see what I'm saying? And so we want to make sure that we do that, because you never know who you come across. And so thank you, my sister. We'll talk with you. You play cousin, but we're going to hug you like you're a new person, though. All right? All right, let's get into the word for this morning. There is Snack Shack for this morning. They are preparing that. That's why you see the kitchen rolling and going as well. All right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 22. This is a message especially for you. And it says in verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart," the kingdom of God, if you will, "and on their mind, and I will write them." He then says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. In other words, you don't have to keep on making people apologize. After you've forgiven them, leave it alone and move forward. That's a word for, okay. Verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the title of this morning's message, it'll make sense in just a moment. And I quote, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. I know y'all so good. I can hear it right now. And it's actually part of my message. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. I'm going to do that one more time. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. The church, the body, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the people that you're sitting next to, those that you hook up with, those that believe in Jesus Christ all around the world, save people. Notice I didn't say people who go to church. Save people, or those who have come together to hear, speak, and carry out the goodwill and pleasure of God the Father under the power of the Holy Spirit, that church. We are the church. This is us. We, ours, all together, all in, and committed to the cause of Christ. We have a permanent lease agreement as the bride of Christ to reflect his image and likeness and be a beacon of hope in a dying and cruel world. As the church, there will be times to endure suffering that feels like it will never end. As the church, we have to look inward to judge ourselves against the standard of Jesus' teachings. And as the church, our eyes to be focused on eternity while simultaneously, and I know this is not easy, being focused on the here and now. I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I can say with confidence and declaration that we are a faithful, flawed, Lord knows we're flawed, and forgiven, that's important for you to hear, people that possess God's favor. So let the church say amen this morning as a sign of agreement with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Let the church say amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 22, we see the writer here is speaking about a covenant, an agreement that is being made between one party, being God, and another, his people. This original agreement existed in ancient times between God and the children of Israel. God is married to Israel, the backslider, if you will, but we are married as the church to Christ. You see that? All right. So that particular marriage, we have to understand that God does not take off his ring finger when he goes out of town. Better yet, he doesn't take off his ring finger when we go out of town either. So when you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 22, this is like us saying amen to agreement. Now, amen is not from Egypt, and it's not some weird thing. It's not something that you saw on the internet that's saying something like Amen Ra, something like that. There was not even a translation for amen in the ancient Egyptian world. It actually means Yamanu. So when it comes to amen in the Hebraic language, it basically means so be it. Let it be so. I am in agreement. So we're saying amen to agreement as the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 22, it says this as follows, repeating, this is the covenant or agreement that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them.
let me pause right there and let me extrapolate and let me actually exegete the text to tell you what this specifically means. Many people always wonder, especially when I was younger, what's going to happen to all the people who do not hear the gospel? If you're on some remote island in this particular area of the country or area of the world, how is it that God is going to reach them? You know, we hear in eschatology that as soon as the world hears the gospel, then that's when Jesus will come. Well, that is very true, but how that message is delivered is not always dependent on man. He uses man as an instrument, but God knows how to speak people for themselves. And so this law that is written upon their hearts is embedded in every single human on this planet to know the difference between right and wrong. Those laws are the moral laws. That's why you don't have to go to church in order to do right from wrong. I want you to understand that. But at the lower level, while you know inside of why you do right and wrong, you don't really know who it is that put it in you in the first place. When you get saved, those laws make sense. When you get saved, you not only do them because you feel your conscience move, but you actually feel the Spirit of God move within you. That's why most people know right from wrong. And when you come to church, it's not about me telling you how many sins that you have. It's actually me trying to promote you and trying to push you closer to Jesus so that you can become a better version of yourself. Not only that, that he gives you an agreement that he's going to write the Holy Spirit upon your heart to let you know the difference between right and wrong, how to help you make decisions in life. Verse 17 says, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. So you mean to tell me that when you get saved and you get forgiven by God, that he doesn't pull it up and wring it in front of your face and bring it up to you over and over again like us some human folk that we do? You know how it is. I forgive, but I will not forget. I think it should be said, I forgive you, but I won't let you forget. When you forgive somebody, you got to let that thing go. It's a burden. It's a cancer to the soul. Many people think that there's cancer that's running rampant and that it's due to chemicals. And partly that is true. But the other part is that when you hold bitterness and forgiveness on the inside, there's this phenomenon called psychosomatic illness. To where when you internalize things and you have this bitterness cycle that's going on, it actually begins to eat away at you on the inside. It may manifest as an ulcer. It may manifest as sickness. It may manifest as bitterness. Or you just mean. You got to forgive people. You got to let it go. And I think that's even more of an emphasis to say amen to forgiveness. Verse 18 says, now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Now let me give you the Back to the Future version of this as we exegete and look at the text. This verse is teaching us that back in the day, when the priest used to go around this particular vessel and offer a sin offering of a lamb, get a scapegoat to write all the people's sins in the ancient world of Israel, and they used to do this year after year after year. Anytime somebody did wrong, you had to make it known that you were wrong in front of everybody and have an offering. If you had a household where everybody's just off the chain, you just have a whole bunch of lambs in your hand. Going to the temple to give to the priest so that they can atone for your sins before the Lord. But how many of you know that when you get saved, it is no longer time for you to do that? You don't need to make it up with God by having perfect attendance to church because you were off the chain last night. Amen. That's like having a sin offering. You get that? That's a great word right there. That's a great word because some of us are still in this Old Testament pattern of that we got to get right with God. And we do, but I'm talking about the motivation behind it. God is not moved by sin offerings anymore because he has his son. Your offering is actually unworthy before him because it's coming from human hands. It's coming from a human mindset. You give a little bit more this month because last month he kicked your butt when it came to your bills because you weren't giving in the past. So now you try to give a sin offering, whereas it should be a love offering. The love offering is given when you just worship and praise God in spirit and in truth in your own special way. But where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering of sin. That's what it meant in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, as believers, when somebody has done you wrong, you bless them. Amen. When somebody has used you, You let them use you some more. Let them use you up until you use me. Put it this way. You always say, and as church people, we always say, Lord, I want you to use me. And when he does, we start complaining. Lord God, I give you all of me. I give you withholding nothing. And God is like, you saying that you want you said that you want to be used by me. Go ahead and get some suffering. I'm going to send some relatives your way that's not going to pay you back. Okay, let's see if you really are what you say that you're going to do. Because I don't want you to be a hypocrite. You know, I'm just saying, you know, that's the main reason why they ain't come to church, because you hypocritical. So I'm going to send some tests and trials and tribulations your way to see how you perform. So when God asks you to forgive, you got to forgive. Loose him or her and let it go. I also believe that the church needs to say amen to Jesus as Lord. It sounds like it should be obvious, but it's not obvious to everybody. I was in a conversation with the individual just the other day that as I was talking to the individual about things of the church and the things about the church, he said, well, I grew up in church and my mom and this and that and the other and these particular people, I know all of the lingo, I know all of the words, I know about saying Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I said, but I don't want you to look at me that way, because we're more spiritual than religious. And then that's when the conversation just kind of went like this. Practicing church does not mean that you're saved. People can practice church. You can practice church. You can practice coming to the house of the Lord. You can have a form of godliness. You can read the scripture. However, albeit notwithstanding, you have to live the word that you read. By their fruit you shall know them. So the only way that you really know that the person is saved is by the way that they carry themselves. Not only the way that they carry themselves, but if it's like Christ. Verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, the holy place represents the holy of holies of God, God's throne room. Back in the Old Testament, it was a room, a tent that had this in the holy of holies. That's how it used to be. But now that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, we don't need to come to the altar, if you will, the same way physically to an entity in the middle of the room. Now we can go boldly before the throne of grace. The throne of grace is God giving you total forgiveness for everything that you've done, past, present, and future. And because of that grace, you now appreciate him even more. You don't give God a bunch of religion. He says, I don't want your religious ways. I don't want you just to think that perfect attendance, and if you make it four Sundays in a row, that it's going to mean that you just got it all together. No. I want you to come to church consistently. Yeah, for sure. I want you to come consistently, but I want you to come in the right spirit. Amen. I want you to come with the right heart. I don't want you to disappear when you do wrong on Saturday morning or Saturday night. I want you to not fake it. So if you were out there tricking this past weekend, then you need to repent. Amen. 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 Lights. Don't fake it. Don't clean yourself up and be like, I put on my church mask. Don't put it on fast. No. If you're off the chain, you might as well just keep the bottle and just say, let the church say amen, and put your Cavassier bottle right there. And say, Lord God, I repent. Yes. You don't have to do it when everybody says. You can do it right after church. Amen. We have to say that he is Lord. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That veil represents when Jesus died on the cross. It says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. That veil is man's way of being able to get to God without using religion as its mode of transportation. So by a new and living way, through Jesus Christ, he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. So because Jesus died, now in verse 21, it makes sense. And since we have a great high priest over God, we can now go to God without having to go through man, because Jesus already died on the cross for us. When Jesus is Lord, he delivers you. When Jesus is Lord, he directs you. When Jesus is Lord, he develops you. You missed it. When Jesus is Lord, he delivers you. Deliverance means that you were once in something and now you're out of it. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once lost, but now I am found. He'll deliver you. But then he'll also direct you. Now you know good and well you shouldn't be looking at that at 3 a.m. in the morning. Now you know good and well you shouldn't say that. Now you know good and well. When you put that liquid courage in your system or you put that thing up in your nose, you turn into another man and you turn into another woman. You know good and well that you don't need to treat the current person like your last knucklehead. It's a new day. Stop bringing up old stuff. So he'll direct you, help you make good decisions. And my God, he'll develop you. Lord, have mercy. There is nothing more transforming than the power of God's grace through his son, Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And to know that he loves you and will give you extra time through his grace until you get it right, until you become more like him. That's the best thing ever. I can't tell you, even now as I have turned 44 years old, the start of this ministry when I was 34 years old, I can tell you that my thoughts and my mind pattern is not just on temporal things. It's actually increased on, hey, you know what? You're not going to be on this planet forever. And so while my mind is on the now, it's also on eternity at the same time. I'd be like, Lord God, I'll be so glad when I see you, but I ain't ready just yet. I ain't ready just yet. However, I thank you that you love me. So just so if you decide to take me now, I know where I'm going. Jesus is Lord. We also have to say amen to authenticity. Lord have mercy. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a sincere heart. You get that? Sincere heart means, I saw somebody's post that said, gracefully broken. That's what a sincere heart is, when you have been gracefully broken. Gracefully broken doesn't mean that God just gently just tore you apart. I'm just going to take you apart. I'm going to take your life and put it in shambles. No. It doesn't mean that. It means that under grace you have been broken. In other words, his love has been so transforming to you. In other words, I'm not going to beat you. I'm going to hug you until you break. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to whoop you. I'm not going to make you stand outside until all the mosquitoes bite you up. I'm going to bring you on the inside and I'm going to embrace you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you even more. Now, which one do you think you'll buck up against? More punishment or more love? I'd rather have love, because love is actually more convicting than punishment. When God blesses you after you've been tricking last weekend. And see, the reason why he does that for you, and the reason why he does that and gives you more additional blessings, is because he was like, hey, come on now. I'm trying to work with you. Work with me here. Work with me here. I'm trying to give you another chance to get it right. Now, if you want punishment, I have the rod of correction for you. I can do it because I'm beautiful and terrible at the same time. I'm just like the ocean. I'm nice to look at, but you can drown and you can die in me too. But God says, let us draw near as the church with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. In other words, sometimes you got to believe even when you don't see it. You got to believe that it's going to work out. You got to believe that the finances are going to work out. You got to believe that the marriage is going to work out. You got to believe that the church and your ministry has to work out. You got to believe that your health is going to work out. Even if he doesn't heal you.
Yes.
Even if he doesn't give you the better job. Even if he does not improve the marriage according to your timetable. Sometimes God makes us hook up with the devil in order to push the devil out of us. So let us draw near. With a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What do we see here? We see a two-pronged statement, a two-piece, a part A and a part B, and a latter part of the statement. This is what you call being seasoned with salt or fire and water. The Holy Spirit and being baptized, or being baptized internally and being baptized externally. Okay, let me break it down to you. It says, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. That's internal, isn't it? That's your thought life. One old preacher would say, get rid of your stinking thinking and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, God, when he baptizes you, he not only wants to baptize you from the outside so that you can be a sign and wonder like we're going to do out there in Daytona during Beast Day. It's going to be a sign and wonder. I'll take you down and now you dip, baby, dip. Put my hand up on your hip. We dip, baby, dip. Okay. Some of y'all thought two different things, but I'm talking about baptism. External baptism. It's only a sign. It's only a wonder so that others may consider believe. But it's not the only part of the story. The main part of the story is the inside. What makes a person carry out their actions is what goes on up here. If we can get this thought life right, if we can authentically and reverentially get before God and let him know that we got things that's going on in our minds. I posted a post that was very transparent on my Facebook page and also inside of the Gideon Circle men's group about how, as a man, I used to have rage and anger that was so serious. And I would think about weapons and guns and hitting people and being violent. And when I hit a lick, I would hit them too and all this stuff. And they would just eat at me. And it carried, matter of fact, into ministry for many years until I let love take over. Until I found out that as good a feeling that rage is, it exhausts you and it actually hurts you in the very end. I'd much rather be Bruce Banner than the Incredible Hulk. I'd much rather show my strength not by tearing everything apart but keeping it all together. That's where true strength lies. And I had to learn that. And that's why it's important that we say amen to confession and accountability. Lord, have mercy. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast. See how it keeps on saying, let us. It means it's not saying let me or let you. It's saying let us. It means that we got to do this thing all together, all in the family. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Being double-minded in your mind is unstable. You can't be in the club and in church at the same time. You can't love somebody and hate them at the same time. No. It's just like them songs. I love the way you lie. No, that's deception. That is of the devil. I want you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. In other words, don't let it be a secret that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you have to walk around with a cross on your shoulder like this one man in the neighborhood. He walks around with a cross on the shoulder, and it's a great sign and it's a wonder, but it's still religious. You don't have to do that in order for people to see that you are a believer. Not knocking it, but I'm just saying, when God says that you have to bear your own cross, he wasn't mean it literally. He meant it figuratively, symbolically. In other words, as a Christian, when you do read the verse, bless those that curse you and give to those that despitefully use you, it means something to you. My wife was even telling me about a particular book that she's getting ready to read in her course, as well as one of the other praise leaders in this church. And it was talking about how there's this book that's called The Peacemakers. And how that when you are designed by God to bring peace in the midst of chaos, how challenging it could be, especially when you got a slapper in a mouth type of spirit. When you got that spirit where you want to put the paws on somebody, and then God has called you to be a peacemaker, that's something else. And then you begin to think about the verse, blessed are the peacemakers. You got to be blessed when you're a peacemaker, especially when you want to be a rage maker. When you just want to let it all fly. No, it says blessing to the peacemakers. So that means that there is no blessing for the chaos makers. So if you're always stirring stuff up, guess what? God ain't with you. Let's confess. Let us show our accountability. And verse 24, here it is again. And let us, quote unquote, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So in other words, in the King James, it says, let us provoke one another. Let us exhort one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us stimulate one another to be faithful to our wives, to be faithful to our husbands. To hang in there if you're going through a rocky time in marriage. To get married if you shacking. I could do it in a loving way. I could tell you that, you know, you need to tone it down a little bit. If we got that type of relationship when it comes to you and being harsh with the kids, I could hold you accountable if you're trying to get that sexual lust from out of your spirit. I could encourage you to do right. And I will be like the image and likeness of Christ as I'm expressing you to do right by doing it in the spirit of love. That you can wait until you get married. That you can be debt free. You don't have to spend your whole entire check at a whole bunch of foolishness and just ball out, ball so hard. You don't have to ball so hard every paycheck. It's not necessary. Nobody ain't impressed with your money anyway, because nowadays with the economy, everybody got money now. So we want to encourage one another to do right, to hang in there just a little while longer. If you've done all that you can do, then move on. But if you know that you have not done all that you could do, then you need to hang in there. I'm speaking about two or three people, even when I said that. It could be your job. It could be your relationship that you're in. Just hang in there, because God has called you to be the peacemaker. And God may also be allowing for that chaos and that storm to come to stir up some stuff in you so it can get out of you. And then verse 25, I love this so much. It says, and not forsaking our own assembling together as in the habit of some. So this lets us know that when we come to this building, church takes place. The building is not the church. This is a building that has drywall and garage doors, and it's where activities take place. But when we come together as a congregation, we are the church. And so if you all didn't show up, we ain't got no church. When we go to an event on a Monday, guess what? We be the church. I'm using those terms purposely. This is us. This is who we are, all together, all in, under the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. So let us not forsake our own assembling together. Coming together is important, because it's very hard for you to be encouraged to do right when you don't have anybody in your ear telling you to do right. And it also could be a habit to stay away. I'm just confounded how we have people that look so churchy online, got verses of scripture from the rooter to the tutor, and won't set foot in the church because of those hypocrites down there. But when you say that, you're walking in hypocrisy, because you're walking in direct disobedience to Hebrews 10 verse 25. Well, I could just do it at home. Ain't nobody at home telling you about the gospel. You know why? Because when I'm at home, I'm trying to sleep. I'm dealing with the kids. I may pray before I go to bed, but it ain't church at the house all the time. No. The fruit is what shows at the house. That's it. So staying at the house is not an environment where you can really be encouraged to do right. It's when you're among the people of God that you respect, honor, and love. That's the reason why we encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day draw nearing. In other words, Jesus is coming. Do we know? No. But we do know this, that we will die. And that is faster for many of us than the time when Jesus will come. And when you die, do you know where you will be going? Do you know? It shouldn't scare you to do right. But however, it shouldn't make you consider getting closer to Jesus Christ. So this is where I conclude. I'm going to give you a little dose of Bible study during the service, because many of you need it. Many of you need to be fed with something as we go on through the summer. We're already, half of the year is already done. In another month, another couple of weeks or so, we'll be into July. In another couple of weeks, your kids will be back in school. Some for the very first time in elementary school, some for the very last time, and they'll be graduating. So transition always will happen. But as the church doesn't change just because it's summertime. For we shall be with God in season or out of season. So let me say amen to the gospel as expressed through the Apostles' Creed. These are the things that you should see, and you should see it on your screen. You may not be able to see all of them, but I'm going to go through it. If you need to get closer, you do that. But just hear these words. As the church, as the people of God, our focus is not to be, when we come to church, let me see if I can only get myself better. People come to church with you when they see a change in your life. When you are over the fence and going back and forth across the fence, if you are cool in church and then you off the chain at the house and then you invite somebody to church, ain't nobody listening to you. If you got your turn up, if you got your turn up gear on and turn up stuff behind closed doors, you ain't post those things and the same people that you invite to church see that and then they also see your life when it comes to church, they ain't coming because it's not having any effect on you. You get that? You got to be sincere about it. You have to be real about it. And even if you toe up from the flow up, still come to church so that we can encourage one another to be the best version of ourselves. So this is where we say amen to the gospel. This of what you see on the screen is called the Apostles' Creed. Some people also may speak of it as the Nicene Creed. This is something that the apostles believed in as they were walking the planet after the ascension of Jesus Christ. These things are simple. It's simple, ain't it? But quite clever. Well, watch this. Number one, I believe in God the Father. This is what we should believe as the church. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God is not a woman. I know you love the song. I know you get to it on our Star 95.3. And all of a sudden, God is a woman, Ariana Grande, but that is false. He's a father. He's a good, good father. He's also almighty. That means that he's omnipotent. He can answer your prayers. Go to him. Seek him. Trust him. And he's the maker of heaven and earth. No one made God. He is not a created being. But who made God? No. Nobody made God. That means that he was the initiator. He was the one who kicked the ball across the universe. And now we have our dwelling place. Number two. Not only do we believe in God, we also believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, our Lord. What this means is that you can't just be a person that says, I believe in God only. There's a lot of people in the United States that believes in God, but they could believe that the tree outside is God. They could believe that the ant is God. They could believe that their dogs are God. They take care of their dogs more than they take care of children. My spirit animal. Animals ain't got no spirit. Your spirit animal is a wolf, roar. No, when that wolf sees you out in the forest, say, you're my spirit animal. You're going to be torn up. Arr, 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 you'll be dead. So we believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, our Lord. Number three, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. What this means is that this represents the Immaculate Conception, that our God, as represented through Jesus Christ, it's not like anybody else. Everyone else, all of the other religions that are out there that have a key figure were born naturally. But this was a supernatural experience. The Muslims did not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin in the way that we believe. And that he was convicted by, or conceived by the Holy Spirit. They believe he was a virgin, but that virgin was more so of somebody who was young, not somebody who was untouched. You missed it. Virgin in the Muslim faith means somebody who is young, but not somebody who is untouched. As Christians, we believe that the Virgin Mary was untouched, and the only experience that she had was with the Holy Spirit. That was it. So that God could enter into this earth realm and not violate his scripture. Because he said that man shall dominate. But if God dominated without man, that he would be violating his scripture. That would be a contradiction. So he had to come through the womb of a woman so that man could have an example, a visual example of how to act. But he also had to be fully God so he could forgive you of all of your sins. So when you believe in Jesus Christ and believe that he came into this world of the Virgin Mary, you believe in that Jesus is special and he stands alone. And he is not like anyone else. Number four, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Was crucified, dead, and buried, and he descended into hell. what this means in the first part, when it talks about Pontius Pilate, yes, he was the person that says, all right, give them to the Jews, let them do what they want. But what that represents is the secular world. The secular world will always persecute you. The secular world will always chime in up under your godly posts and put something secular up under it. I love my pastor. Well, he might be stealing. I'm going to church. Ain't it like the club? It just happened just this morning. We were broadcasting live, and there was some individual that was hyper-religious to be like, why do you have people in the praise team with pants on? And I was like, I just deleted the post. But I almost turned green. I was like, this person got a religious demon in it. I just blocked them and got rid of the person. So you're always going to have people that's going to try to come against your faith. However, because he was crucified, dead and buried, and because he went into the hell, he got hell out of us. This is where number 5 comes into play. The third day, he rose again from the dead. If you do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then you are still yet in your sins. And we above all men are still most miserable. I'm preaching in vain. You're singing in vain. You're praying in vain. I might as well just go ahead and get buck wild and not have a conscience about it. I might as well just not carry myself as a saved individual. But the thing about it is that when God touches your heart and when he truly saves you, you may try to get after chain just a little bit, you know, that little banky bounce and all the other stuff. You can do all that, but then you'll come right back and be like, you know what? I need to really get right with God. Sheep struggle, pigs wallow. Number 6, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. That means that Jesus was just a person and he just wasn't buried and you could find his bones. That's what people have been doing all these years. Let me find the bones of Jesus. If we find the bones of Jesus, then there ain't no resurrection. Then that will destroy the Christian faith. But for 2,000 years, the truth has stand firm. Number 7, from this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. So that lets us know that God is judge. But you want to be in the right position when he does judge you. I am grieved sometimes when I see people not respond to the gospel. I am grieved many times when you see people just walking by the church and it's just like it's just a regular day. I am grieved because there's many people who are going to hell willingly. They will willingly go to hell. Willingly act off the chain. Willingly spit in the face of God, the one that's been so good to you, and you can't repent after you die. Maximize your time right now. I believe in the Holy Spirit, that God is directing us even right now. And if the Holy Spirit is not moving in your life, then your prayer life needs to increase exponentially. If you don't talk to him, you won't know what his voice sounds like. If you don't pray, you can't hear him. Stop getting your advice from some weird little group on Facebook about relationships from a whole bunch of hellish secular people trying to help you to get your relationship right. No, they didn't invent it. I don't even know why I said it. I just said it. They didn't invent it. God invented the institution of marriage and relationships. Go to him and not them. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints. Catholic does not mean what you see as far as Hail Mary and Virgin, as far as the institution of the denomination. Catholic basically means universal. So we believe that the church is not just Divine Truth Christian Center, but everybody who's saved. That's what that means. And the communion of the saints, we believe in communion, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and my favorite, the life everlasting, that there will be eternity. So let the church say, amen. Amen. That's what we believe as a church. That's what I wanted to do this morning. So before the you smell the scent of Snack Shack in your nostrils, somebody over here already smelled it because it's on you closer to the kitchen on this side. So I'm gonna hurry up for y'all over here. I want you all to realize that this was a pep talk this morning because I felt and I started to see some of y'all starting to get kind of wavering in this thing called being a part of the body of Christ. After Easter, you stopped inviting people. After Easter, you stopped posting that you got a church family and church home. Keep that same energy, y'all. You got that? Keep your fire for God. Keep letting people know that you are a Christian and that you love God. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for the visitors. We thank you, Lord God, for the guests. We thank you, Lord God, for those that are up under your bloodstained banner. We thank you, Lord God, for them. Encourage them right now. Encourage every Christian soldier in this place. Encourage everyone that is still wavering in their faith and weak right now. Give them the strength, Lord, to continue to do what you have already told them to do. Infuse them. Increase their faith, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. I'm on time. I gave you one minute. Well, I hope and pray that the message really encouraged your heart. We are the church. And as a side note, even as you get your things and get ready to go to the snack shack or go on about your business for the day, I just want to say a personal thank you for everyone that has sold into my life, both here and even online. In regards to my birthday, I believe that it's just a wonderful season to be in. Some folk would say that I'm in the prime of my life. I had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear it's the... Okay. And I owe it all to you, God. I owe it all to you. I owe God a lot. He's been really good to me, y'all. Like I said, I had some major prayers that were up in the atmosphere, and he answered them. But the best is yet to come. We got a lot to do. We got 3 more daycares to open. We got some businesses to get up and running. We got more people to employ. We went from 1 employee, and now all of a sudden we end up with 7 employees. Amen. And they're all from this particular community. We're a church that provides jobs. I'm not bragging or boasting, but I believe that you all got it going on. And not every church can say that we employ people from the community. Not everybody can say that. Even with the few people that we have, for now, we have done a lot. When we came to this building, none of this was there. When we came to this building, we had no stainless steel appliances. We just had one bone white stove that electrocuted a couple of people. The lobby had no chairs, no cafe tables, none of that stuff. No daycare, no fire alarms. But God somehow, some way has positioned us distinctly in this community and positioned us for growth, exponential growth. So continue to tell your people about what this ministry is doing in their lives. For those of you that are watching online, make sure that you give. Don't just reap and just get and don't reciprocate, all right? Are our hearts and minds clear? All right, come on, stand to your feet. Amen. Can you go ahead and give me that chord and let the church say amen? I want to do this one more time. All right. Let the church say amen. Repeat the words on the screen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. One more time, yeah. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. That's all of y'all. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. You consider yourselves dismissed. They got the food out there. I was trying to make sure that they cooked the burgers all the way when we were saying amen. God bless you.